Proper Sport at 6. The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the FL 72 here on Radio Yorkshire. For the next 60 minutes, I'm going to be joined by the editor of the 72.co.uk, Mr. Tom Carndorp. We've got all the usual features lined up on the show. We've got Yorkshire news, where Bradford City are flying high in League One. Second place in the table being chased down by Sheffield United, both sides scoring four goals in emphatic wins at the weekend. We'll look ahead to the returning Championship action this weekend. We'll talk Steve Evans, who looks like he is back in football. We'll talk the return of Tim Sherwood as director of football at Swindon Town. Ian Holloway's back as well. What a week it's been. He's the new QPR manager again. And we've got the shock resignation of the Chesterfield chairman at the club's AGM. We'll talk a bit of England as well. Good days, bad days too. It's all here on the FL 72. Yes, hello and welcome to the FL 72. Back for another week, Sam Bridges and the editor of the 72.co.uk, Tom Carndorp. All right, Tom?
Yeah, very well. Sorry, I had a problem with the wire on the headphone.
Having headphone trouble despite swanky new hairdo.
I know. Smart myself up.
Yeah, no hair getting in the way there.
Now we're on Facebook Live. I can't just come in like a mess anymore.
Well, we've always been on the cameras. RadioYorkshire.co.uk /watch live if you want to watch on the website. If you're lazy and don't like clicking links, just go on Facebook and have a look.
Yeah, exactly.
Facebook.com/RadioYorkshire. We are there for you in vision.
Tidying myself up anyway.
You're looking all right.
Thank you. Right. This is nice. Usually it's
not
an insult.
We're in the other studio that we've got where we prep a lot of the shows here at Radio Yorkshire, do a lot of the interviews, and it stinks of your aftershave.
It's not that. What?
Not saying it's a bad aftershave. Just saying it stinks of your aftershave. It's like you've got a new hairdo. Someone's bought you some after. Has it been your birthday?
Weeks ago, but not. That's not influenced anything.
Just cracked open that new aftershave bottle.
Yeah.
So there we go. Tommy's smelling good. He's looking good. He's ready for the show. We've got all the usual stuff coming up over the next hour. We've got Yorkshire news to bring you very shortly. We'll also look at some big news across the Football League, as I just mentioned a few moments ago. We've got Steve Evans, who looks like he's back in football. Tim Sherwood's back in football in the Football League. And so is Ian Holloway as well. Russell Slade's been given the boot at Charlton. What am I on about there? Dave Allen walked out of Chesterfield last night at their AGM. We'll talk about that. England, of course, we'll have a look at that. And what do you think? It's a good idea that Gareth Southgate is going to get the job on a full-time basis. And good days, bad days as well, which has this week an international flavour. He's making his own rules. He is the Conor McGregor of the Football League.
I like that.
Radio
I like
shows.
That. That's a new Twitter bio.
Yeah, you should see the way he swaggers into the studio.
We've got cameras in here now, so I'll...
you can do the McGregor thing. Right, let's kick off Yorkshire news. Of course, the Championship and the Premier League had a break for the internationals. Both of the Yorkshire sides in League One scoring four goals in routes at the weekend. We'll start off with Bradford, who are second in the table now thanks to Bolton's defeat. And, they hammered Rochdale and looking good for it, Stuart McCallsman.
They do look really good, don't they? I say, we pretty much, I say this every week, that it was kind of question marks on how well they'll do this season, but they're showing why they are a top team in this league, why they are kind of favourites to go up, or one of the favourites, and it was impressive performance, convincing win as well. I know they haven't scored as many goals as maybe some of the teams around them so far this season, but to then go and score four at home, it's obviously, any time you can do that, it's a good thing. And to go into second as well, always going to be competitive in League One. There was no real clear favourite to win the league at the start of it. It's going to be a competitive league, so to have that position early on as we head into towards the end of November is going to be a good thing. And you know, they look like they're just going to carry it on.
Yeah, they're a side, at the start of the season, no one really knew what to expect. Yeah. Stuart McCall was going back to Bradford. Obviously, Phil Parkinson had been there for a number of years, and you know, many people were sad to see him go, quite angry, but it's sad that he would leave the club, and a bit of uncertainty, new owners coming in. But Stuart McCall, what a job he's done. He talk about steadying the ship when you come into a new club and just adding new things and just getting the best out of players. And instead of it being a revolution at Bradford, now they've signed quite a few players because they had to, but the core of last season is still there, and they've built very well.
Yeah, definitely. It's kind of... you kind of touched on it there. No one really knew what to expect. Phil Parkinson obviously did wonders there. They had the league success, the cup success that they had, and it's always going to be a tough act to follow. But to come in the way he has and you know, not just steady the ship, but kind of excel in League One there as they try and get their way back up to the second tier in English football. Of course, out the cup as well, so now their focus can solely be on the league. Out the cup, focus on the league. But, you know... it's kind of a good thing. We know how Bradford's cup runs have been over the past couple of years. They might be disappointed to be out of it, but you know, the cliche is that, and they can fully put their focus into the league now. And you know, I think the way they're playing, the team they've got and how they're doing, you would fancy them to be up there for the rest of the season.
Yeah, most definitely. What do you think is the key difference this year to previous years, that they were solid at the start of the season, unspectacular, but now they're adding in goals. It seems like there's many boxes to tick. What is it for you that you feel is different with the side?
I think last season they didn't score many, but they didn't concede many, whereas now we're talking about them, they scored 4 against Rochdale, they got 3 past Wimbledon, 3 past Sheffield United. It's only kind of been recently, you know, compared to like 3 scoring kind of Scunthorpe above them. I know they got Sheffield United below them, but I think that was an issue where they don't score many goals last year, and that seems to have, in recent weeks anyway, they seem to have addressed that. They seem to be kind of answering the questions of how they'd go into this season. But for me, I think it is just not maybe the entire strength, but the fact that they have got the goals in them now. And, you know, another cliche, you've got to score goals to win games, but they're just going...
You're coming out with it tonight.
I know, I've got a secret bingo going on somewhere, but not just scoring goals, but to, you know, get as many goals as they have been doing, especially at home, it's only going to be a good thing.
With Bradford, Keith Hill said it at the weekend in his post-match quotes, said that Bradford should have been promoted a long time ago. It's something I always say to Danny. In fact, you'll hear it after this show at 7 o'clock. We're going to give you the Yorkshire Football Show, which is live on TV Yorkshire every Monday. We're going to play that for you after 7 o'clock here on Radio Yorkshire. But that is my argument always with Danny, is that Phil Parkinson should have got Bradford out of this division in the last couple of seasons. Do you agree with Keith Hill? Do you agree with me and Keith?
Yes and no. I think, you know, you've got to look at it. I think this is where my kind of judgment upon Bradford goes. Much like Sheffield United, you look at the club size and their history and you say, oh, well, they should have been out there a long time ago. I'd even draw kind of Peterborough into that, in the fact that, oh, well, they should have been promoted. They should have been promoted earlier. You could say that about Bradford, but Bradford have had the cup runs. I know that they probably would have taken promotion to the Championship, but in the past few years, you look at the run to Wembley, the performances in the FA Cup semi-final, the win over Chelsea, which mentioned Danny Parkinson. I'm sure he likes to talk about that occasionally. So, you know, there probably was a disappointment that they couldn't go up, but they had that success as well. But then there are a few teams, really, who in League One, you say, oh, well, they should have gone up, they shouldn't really be there. And I suppose at the end of the day, only so many teams can go up at the end of it. But for me, I think Bradford are in that kind of same category as Sheffield United, where maybe you look at the club as a whole and say, well, they should be going up. But, you know, just because they're a big club doesn't mean that they should be kind of in the big leagues.
Yeah, no, but I think that obviously they had the great cup runs, that they made a decent amount of money from that. And got up and then had, you know, other cup runs, and it seemed like there was some real momentum there to build on, where Sheffield United went down and struggled, and they really didn't find a formula and just have been pretty average really for the last couple of years. You know, Bradford in the cup, generally have been very good and have shown they can play levels above, and they've always been in and around it. They're in the playoffs again last year. It's just, they've been a lot closer than Sheffield United, and from that perspective, I think it has been a slight failure.
I think so, yeah. You've always got the disappointment, I suppose, especially last season making the playoffs. But I think it is that I kind of, you look at it in all the leagues, I think, where you look at clubs and go, right, they should be going up, but it never really works out that way. Maybe, I don't know, under Parkinson, they were kind of a team that maybe were geared to the big occasion, as you saw in the cup runs. I'm not sure exactly on that, but I think maybe it should have come earlier, but, you know, as a Bradford fan, you'd imagine they'd be enjoying it, their current success, and it's difficult to predict with the League One so far where it's going, but, you know, the way they're playing, the fact they've got some convincing results over the past couple of weeks, they're scoring goals as well, you'd expect them to stay up there, and this could be the season that they actually do it.
We shall see. We'll hear from Stuart McCall, a club legend, in a couple of moments. But first, some sad news to bring you from Bradford City today, because an absolute club legend, the former striker, all-time top goalscorer at Bradford, Bobby Campbell, has died at the age of 60, won two caps for Northern Ireland, a member of the squad for the famous 1982 World Cup in Spain. Started his career with Aston Villa, scored 143 goals in two spells with the Bantams, making him their all-time record goal scorer. Also had spells with Huddersfield Town, Sheffield United, Halifax here in Yorkshire, as well as Vancouver, Brisbane, Derby County and Wigan Athletic. So some sad news coming today that Bobby Campbell has died at the age of 60. Right, let's hear from Stuart McCall right now. Here he is speaking to Naz Premji after that emphatic win over Rochdale at the weekend.
Stuart, you must be very satisfied with your team's efforts today.
Yeah, delighted obviously with the result, the performance. I've got to say, sometimes in football you can be a bit lucky. I mean, we weren't lucky in the performance, but we were lucky that we've played against the Rochdale side that have been depleted in certain areas, you know, with, you know, suspensions and international call-ups. So we had to take advantage of that today, because Rochdale are a good side. So, yeah, I thought the quality of the goals were terrific, the way we played. We've had a lot of good performances at home this season, but not capitalised and been clinical. You only have to look last night at Wembley, unfortunately, from my point of view. England had three attempts on goal and scored all three. So we had a lot of chances today, don't get me wrong. But when you're on top of games, you've got to be clinical, and we were that today.
Having spoken to Keith, he was quite happy with his team's performance, yeah, because maybe it's about 40 minutes till you got that first goal. It was an even game, wasn't it?
It certainly was, that's what we said. And I knew how they'd play Rochdale, they're a good side. And they did, although our goalies had nothing to do. I don't know if their goalies had much to do, but it was an open, even game. So when the quality of the goals come about, you know, great crossing. We worked all week, and sometimes you can work all week and nothing comes off on a Saturday. But we worked all week on crossing, finishing, set plays, and everything's come off today. So it's one of them days when you look back and think, thankfully, because you know next week anything can happen. So, yeah, pleasing performance. The lads deserve it. The crowd deserve it after disappointment last week going out of the cup. And we just look to move on. We keep our feet on the ground. But if we keep playing like that, then, you know, we'll do well.
About 5 minutes before the break, Billy Clark, influential, obviously scored the first, but the cross for the second, yeah, I thought was super.
Outstanding, I know. A lot of people tell me when I come to a football club that Clark and Hansen can't play together, you know, big man, little man, but Billy is more of a 10. We emphasise, yeah, he goes in there, deep positions, get on the ball, makes things happen, but when the ball goes in the box, he's got to get in there and score goals, because regardless if you're a 10 or a wide player, you judge on how many goals you score or how many goals you create. He gets one, and as you say, his balling is fantastic, and Timothy Dieng, again, we encourage midfield players to get in the box, and he's done that and got his just reward.
The sending off has kind of killed the game and given you a chance to get the two more that you did get. Yeah. Obviously, Hansen with that tapping. But Mark Marshall, what a free kick that was.
Again, you know, he's been working on him all week. He's a conscientious lad. Left foot, right foot. I mean, he's a natural right footer, but you wouldn't know. He kicks with both feet, and his left foot goes over the wall. And, you know, he gets his rewards yesterday for being back on the training ground for another 15 minutes. And, you know, fair play to the kid.
And your keeper, first league start, nice clean sheet. He didn't have that much to do, did he?
No, I think he's had one save in the game, which was offside him. It's a really good save. But other than that, you know, he talks well, his kicking's good, his distribution's very good. And, yeah, I'm sure he would have liked more to do, to be honest. But he did everything he did well.
Results depending tomorrow, you might not be, but you are second in the league right now. You must be pleased with the way things have gone so far. Disappointment with the cup aside,
yeah,
the league campaign has been superb for you so far.
yeah, it's far better than we could ever imagine. When we come in the season, we had to get staff together, we had to get a group of players together, and as I say, all plaudits go to them. But it's a team, everything we do here. The owners want it to be a team, the supporters have been fantastic. We've got a good backroom staff now, and we've got a good squad of players. I mean, listen, I'm sure there's 10, 12, 14 other managers in the league think they've got good squads of players, and they have. So, you know, some days we'll be up, some days we'll be down. Today was a good day, and we've just got to strive for the consistency. And I suppose, you know, we've only been beat once this season in the league, so the boys can't be any more consistent than that, and long may it continue naturally, but the feet are still well and firmly on the ground.
Does this make up a little bit for yesterday?
What happened yesterday? No, I missed that, I fell asleep, but no, it's talk about being clinical. I think England have had three attempts on goal and scored three times, so it'll be a different game when we get Hampden.
You feel for Gordon as well, don't you, when that happens?
Yeah. I mean, we've been there, all been there as managers. You're in game, you're playing well, you're doing well. One break, bang, great finish by Sturridge, and that's where the difference was. You know, I think before the game, if you're honest and said to Gareth Southgate, you can have any pick of a Scotland player playing your side, he probably wouldn't have picked anyone. That's where we are as Scotland. So, was it a shock? Wasn't a massive surprise, maybe, because England have got that quality. But the performance-wise, and nobody, a lot of people won't see that, was actually okay from Scotland. You know, it's just England were clinical.
The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Wow. Do you go along with that? England wouldn't pick, you wouldn't have a Scotland player?
Maybe, I don't know, Snodgrass out of just pure love. But, yeah, I don't want to say
yeah. He'd be in the squad, wouldn't he?
I don't want to upset Derek, but yeah,
well,
maybe.
I know Derek and Jack did their combined 11s.
Yeah, and Jack's was very similar to what pretty much they were saying there, wasn't it? That, you know, I think Snodgrass was the only one.
I think he did put him in, but I think he did it just because he didn't want to have the Derek stare.
I'm not going to worry about that. There's walls separating us at the moment,
well,
so it's all right.
Yeah, he could come in. Snodgrass, you'd have him in the squad.
I'd have him in. I can't really see anyone else coming in that would improve improve it.
Let's move on and talk Sheffield United. 4-1 they won against Chesterfield at the weekend, who have, many more problems of their own after this week. We'll touch on that a little bit later on. But they're actually in front against Sheffield United. But in the end, such is the Blades' form, they ran out convincing winners.
They did, yeah. I think it was... it's a bit of a change from the start of the season, definitely, where there were kind of the shaky performances. Lots of questions were asked of both the team and Wilder, where I think it's difficult with Sheffield United. You kind of, much like I was talking about them and Bradford, similar in the club size, I think it's similar in the kind of frustrations that the fans have in terms of Sheffield United every year are probably the favourite to win the league, or one of the favourites to win the league, and then the past couple of seasons they've been nowhere near doing that. So for Wilder to come in even and get the results and start, you know, getting the performances like they have done. The fact is they sit third in the table. They are performing very well at the moment. I'm sure they'll be over the moon with that, considering where they were, not just at the start of the season, but where they've been at this time in other seasons as well.
Well, yeah, not been beaten in the league since the 20th of August.
It's impressive, isn't it? It really, and like before that, they did look almost like a completely different side. Like, not just in the results, but the performances as well, where you're thinking, well, you know, it's not going as well as you'd expect, and how long will they give Wilder, considering kind of their track record in performances over the past couple of seasons. But, you know, it's good to see that they did stick with him. It's kind of good, kind of an advert for making sure you're not too trigger happy with your managers.
It's nice and tightly bunched. Bolton in fourth after their defeat of the weekend on 31 points. They were beaten 1-0 by Peterborough. Sheffield United then leapfrogged them into third with that win over Chesterfield. Bradford went up to second. Scunthorpe still leading the way, 37 points, 5 points clear at the top of the table, 6 points clear of third and fourth place. What do you think about Graham Alexander's side? Can they stay there?
I think so. I think they can, and you know, it shows in the start of the season that something had changed over the summer, because I remember we talked about it. The EFL did surveys of different things, and fan optimism. Scunthorpe United were top, so they were the most optimistic fans, or I think they were second. Anyway, they were up there. So there's obviously a reason they were optimistic, and that's showing now. They just You know, they've had the slip-ups along the way, but they've been convincing. That shows in kind of the points lead they have at the moment, because if they can start building on that, then, you know, they are really going to run away with it and they could be in the Championship sooner than we think.
It's going to be interesting. That League One last year was an unpredictable league with, this time, last year, Coventry were right at the top. Yeah. They finished down towards the bottom, kind of mid-table, Barnsley, of course, were down the bottom and got promoted. Can you see anything similar happening here, or do you think those kind of teams in the mix are just going to be too strong this year?
It's difficult. I wish I could predict the future, but it's difficult to say. I think with the teams up there, you're looking at them on paper and going, well, they are very strong. You know, Bradford, Sheffield United, Scunthorpe, teams you mentioned there, Bolton as well, you'd expect them to be up there. Peterborough is going to be the interesting one. For me, Peterborough, I've always looked at them as a top-end League One side. They've got Grant McCann, who, you know, experienced player, experienced coach, but necessarily not so much as a manager. But it's paying off at the moment, and I've seen them, when was it, a few weeks ago when they played Sheffield United away, and they were very unlucky not to get something from that game. So they show they do have the quality in that squad. And, you know, it's difficult to say, well, you know, yes or no, but you'd expect teams like that to stay up there, and kind of the core of the teams in the top six will stay the same.
We shall see. Let's hear from the Sheffield United manager now. Here is Chris Wilder after that 4-1 win against Chesterfield.
After the first 5 minutes, it was a real poor start for us. Not the one that we envisaged, but credit to Chesterfield for getting out the traps better than us. I thought it was a couple of poor individual errors from the start that allowed them to the opportunity, and it was obviously a good finish. After that, obviously give them a big lift, and it was a really good game of football. Then we started to grow into the game, got on the ball a lot more, controlled possession without just a quality around the final third. So really, it wasn't any barking at half time and smashing teacups. It was, you know, we just need to show a little bit more quality and be patient. And I thought we did that second half.
Yeah, I was going to say, in the second half, your side came out and really took it to Chesterfield, didn't they? I mean, to put them away with four is something, but then just to have chance after chance and be on the front foot consistently as well shows what your side are looking to do.
Yeah, I thought we did that first half without, you know, I thought we were always one pass off scoring. Goalkeeper's made a couple of good saves. Saying that, Simon's made a good save at 1-1. But, you know, we just needed our, you know, the quality of the team to be better second half, and I thought they did. I thought Duffy upped his game, and Cootsy and Flecky, you know, were better second half and dominated the midfield, and we got into some good positions, but added that little bit of quality that takes the game away from the opposition.
And you're sharing the goals around as well, which is a big factor. Billy Sharp's absolutely flying, but other players are chipping in as well.
Well, you know, we want to fill the box. We want to get into good areas by playing decent football, which I believe we are. We're controlling games, but it's no good if we don't have that final little bit. But we're looking to fill the box and finish off the chances that we're creating, and we've certainly done that today.
The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire with Sam and Tom.
Yes, welcome back to the FL 72. Chris Wilder there talking about Sheffield United's win at the weekend. One more game to touch on, Tom, and that is Donny back in business after a mini blip, I think it's fair to say, for Darren Ferguson's side, but back in third, 3-1 win over Exeter, and it's what they should be doing. They should be beating teams like Exeter.
Yeah, definitely. You said about the mini blip, the likes of, you know, the draw with, or the loss, sorry, to Oldham. You'd expect them to kind of beat teams like that in the cup, and then the draw Wickham at home, the Blackpool result, is very disappointing for them. I think it's kind of a lot like the Yorkshire teams that are in League One and League Two seem to have a lot of pressure on them this year, and Doncaster, with where they were a couple of seasons ago, they've had a bit of a fall straight into League Two. It's a bit of a surprise that they have ended up there. So, you know, the fans are going to be expecting to try and work their way back up as quickly as possible. And, you know, they've got a manager who at League Two level should really do a job for that. And he's kind of showing it. I know there's still a way to go, but he's showing that he can have a team up there. Carlisle and Plymouth, you know, Carlisle hadn't lost until the weekend. And Plymouth, like Scunthorpe in League One, really seem to be running away with it already a bit. So it's competitive at the top end, and if they can really, you know, keep it up, break into the top three, even if being in the top seven, they're of course in with a shout there, but they'll be looking for automatic and they're in the right places to do so at the moment.
Indeed they will. Let's talk about the returning action at the weekend a little bit, but it is two nominees for Manager of the Month going head-to-head at Elland Road on Sunday. Newcastle visiting Leeds United. Gary Monk nominated for the award, perhaps a little unlucky to miss out.
I'd say so, yeah.
The bottom lip came out there. But the man, Rafa Benitez, taking the prize. But yeah, you can't argue with Newcastle's form flying high at the top.
You can't, no. They're top, they're flying for a reason. The squad they have, the kind of financial availability that they've got there is just, you know, on a different level to most teams in the Football League. And, you know, that's not criticism. They've got the resources. You may as well use them. And they need to try and get back to the Premier League as quickly as possible. We speak about clubs the size, you know, club size like Bradford, Sheffield United. Well, Newcastle's the same. They are a huge club. They are one of the kind of the powerhouses in English, British football. They need to be in the Premier League. I think it's simple as that. And they've got a manager like Rafa Benitez, who was managing Real Madrid in 2015. So to come to the Championship, it certainly is a big name. And you'd expect them to stay... to retain the top spot, if not top two, and go straight back up.
It's seven games winning streak for Newcastle now, three for Leeds. Who do you think will be adding another 3 points on Sunday?
On the spot. When you compare the two squads, of course, on paper, you'd say Newcastle every day, but then another cliche, get your bingo cards out. Football's not played on paper, is it? So. Wow. Yeah, I know, I'm going for it tonight. So, I don't want to talk about it from a Leeds fan perspective, but I think it's different when you're at home. Leeds have kind of hit that bit of a good form at the moment. They're top six for the first time since, I don't know, the 1900s. It's, you know, it's a real good kind of feel-good factor around the place at the moment. So, I'd really hope for a Leeds win, but a draw, I'd certainly take that against the Newcastle side.
Could Leeds be made for Newcastle a little bit? They're nice and tight, compact at the back, that they can play some football. They've got a big guy up front in Wood, who's, you know, a handful for defenders coming down from the Premier League. Do you get the optimism?
I've got the optimism with the way it's been going recently. The fact going to like Norwich would beat them twice in a week or 2 weeks, especially to go there and get the win. You know, I think Ronaldo Vieira summed it up nicely. They've just got to play without the fear. I think it's... They've obviously got the squad, but a lot of the time it is, especially when you go to St James's Park, that, you know, you're playing Newcastle. They are a huge club. They've got a great team, a passionate fan base. And I think that's where kind of some of the intimidation comes from. So I think Leeds just have to go into it playing, thinking no fear, that they can compete with the teams at the top. They've shown that this season. They've got the results against teams at the top. And they've got to remember that they are at home in front of a sellout crowd. The atmosphere is going to be great. It really does kind of remind you of the Premier League days when both teams were challenging top four. Up that end of the league. And, you know, it should be a great game and a great day.
Indeed. Elsewhere, Steve Evans, the man who, of course, Gary Monk replaced at Leeds, looks like he's going to be back in football. He's been in talks with both Charlton and Mansfield, and it seems like Mansfield are the club for him.
Yeah, this has moved very quickly, isn't it, the whole Mansfield thing? Because it came out, he's talking to Charlton, and then pretty much... an hour or so later, it was announced that, well, reported that he's got the Mansfield job, and Mansfield are set to announce a new manager tomorrow at 3 p.m. I think. So Steve Evans, big move for him, big move, from Leeds to Mansfield, who sell mobility scooters in their club shop. But no, I think it's a big move in all seriousness, in terms of, I think there's gonna be a lot of pressure on him there. He's now a name, he's kind of shown that he can get results at a Championship level. He did pretty well with a poor Leeds side and the situation at Leeds. So it's going to be interesting to watch. There's going to be a lot of pressure on him, but it's going to be a bit different to his last two jobs, I think.
Yeah, a little different. I'm looking forward to Steve Evans' press conference bingo tomorrow. Yes. Sir Alex called him and told him to take the Mansfield job. It's a great club.
I think we should have a sweepstake on when he says Steve Evans.
Oh, yeah, that won't be long.
I know, when he refers to himself in the third person, how he's the greatest manager in England. So
when Mansfield call you,
When, I just can't say no.
When Manfield called Steve Evans is the correct phrase.
Can I say no? we'll play a bit of the best of Steve Evans for you right now, because I do miss him a little bit. Even though Gary Monk's doing a fine job at Leeds. We'd love to see Steve Evans back in the job just for the press conferences. So here he is. He's back in football. So let's just celebrate the man who should have been our Football League president last week. Still getting about that. But Steve Evans. Yeah.
Steve Evans don't lie in bed and dream. I'm a realist. Steve Evans is certainly another name that if you polled the Leeds United supporters, they'd say, oh, he's the man. But I wasn't the choice at Rotherham of the supporters of the early days. And I wasn't the choice at my previous club to that, Crawley. Everywhere I've gone, I've had to earn the right by results. And as a football manager or a head coach, results dictate your future. As a head coach or a manager, I've always been a believer that in football that everyone has a price. You know, Cristiano Ronaldo has his price, and Gareth Bale, they'll have the prices. But I listened to the president, and when he said, you know, we're not going to be doing this, we're not going to be doing it unless someone makes a figure that he thinks this is in the interest of the football club. The one thing that's absolutely amazing, he gets, and I don't ask people to defend him, but he's, a lot of owners and chairmen would have been selling these players at 30 odd million quid. They just launch it, let's say it as it is. You know, there's no football, and the football comes if they're two or three up, but it's effective, it wins results and it's put them in the playoffs. So if this is the benchmark, okay, well that's the benchmark. What I'm not going to do is I'm not going to put a list of players together and give them to the president, because if I just wanted to rate a list of players, I'd have Cristiano Ronaldo on it, wouldn't it? But the chance of getting them would be nil. Joey Barton is a top footballer, and if I'd been head coach at Leeds United, I wouldn't have been making a phone call. I'd have been sitting at the edge of his drive. It's difficult when you're playing against, you know, 10 or 11 men who camp in behind the ball, but it's how they play. You know, they're getting results from doing it. I'd rather watch paint dry. But when you win a game, then you're watching winning when you're watching paint dry.
The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire with Sam and Tom.
People all over the UK love driving with Uber because they get to choose their own hours and take home great weekly pay. You can drive as much or as little as you like. And even if you don't have your own car or private hire licence, we'll help you get started with a free Ignition info session. Get started through Ignition, and you'll even get an extra £300 after you've completed 20 trips. Sign up today at godriveuber.co.uk. That's godriveuber.co.uk. T's and C's and private hire licence fees may apply.
Oh, hello, love. Thanks for phoning.
Again?
But I've heard about your exams, your holiday, your girlfriends, and liked your photos. Me and your dad thought maybe you might like to. Leave us alone for a bit.
Get more chat than even your mum can handle with Talk Mobile's great SIM-only deal. 2,500 minutes, 5,000 texts, 15 gig of data. All for only £15 a month on a 30-day contract. For straightforward value, go to talkmobile.co.uk.
Offer ends 31st of October, UK use. Calls to standard UK mobiles and landlines. Credit check applies. Go to talkmobile.co.uk.
Ever dreamt of becoming your own boss? Being able to spend more time with your family and see all your hard work benefit you, not someone else? Well, you can make that dream a reality with a Snap-on franchise. The world's number one tool brand, Snap-on, is looking for a franchisee in the area. You'll own your own mobile tool store, be provided with training and support, and keep 100% of your profits. Plus, Snap-on will help with funding. Drive your future. Visit snaponfranchise.co.uk to find out more. Snap-on, giving you the tools for success.
Hello, I'm your smoke alarm. I'm just hanging out up here on the ceiling. Could you possibly get up here and test me by pressing my button? I meant kind of like now. You seem to spend a lot of time pressing buttons on your phone. But can your phone wake you and your family up in the night to save your lives? Because I can, if I'm working. So remembering to test me is crucial. How about we take it from the top? Hello, I'm your smoke alarm. Please test me now.
Fire kills. Press to test. Monthly is best.
The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Welcome back, Sam and Tom, with you through until 7 o'clock. We now talk about some of the wider issues in the Football League, and we can be joined on the line by Heather Alderson, who is a Charlton Athletic fan, part of the group CARD, which is a coalition against the honours. How are you, Heather?
very well, thank you. Although the pantomime season seems to have come early to South East London, as you might have been reading.
Yeah, indeed. Tell us about the latest decision then of the Charlton Honours to part company with poor old Russell Slade.
Oh, poor old Russell. I mean, to be honest, it was extraordinary. I mean, part of what their dialogue for this year has been is that they've learned from their mistakes, and now they've appointed a manager who's familiar with the English league, that he's had all the relevant experience. He's going to be in a 3-year contract with full support, can make decisions on the team, and then within 16 games he gets the push. So it shows that they haven't learned from their mistakes, that they're repeating what they've been doing since they've owned the club. I mean, Roland has owned the club now for 2 years, 8 months, and now we're on manager number 8, or in fact, first team coach number 8. Russell was the first person to be appointed. But last night, it was absolutely extraordinary. I mean, there were lots of sources in the football world to say that Russell had parted company with the club. But the one group of people that weren't speaking about that was Charlton Athletic Football Club. They didn't put any statement out until well into the night last night. So it was up to Card to break the news to the footballing world. As I say, it's a pantomime.
a real mess. Charlton, a PR disaster from the outside. But what's been going on inside the club? It's just horrible for supporters like yourself.
Oh yeah, no, it is. We're in 2 years and 8 months of this. We're on manager number 8. Every single decision on the footballing side seems to be sending us further and further towards the bottom of the table. Each decision being, replaced by a worse decision, it seems, for the success of the club, which was so recently in the Premiership and so recently, a role model club for other clubs around the country. But to a lot of supporters, that's not really what this is about. I mean, success on the pitch is, of course, what we all want. But what's happening to us is that the very soul of our club is being ripped apart. I mean, Charlton is a very particular type of club in terms of its relationship with the community and the very, very close relationship between the supporters and the ownership of the club and the board, and all of that has been torn apart. And not only torn apart, but kind of dismissed as irrelevant and not useful to the owners. So it's really quite heartbreaking. I mean, funnily enough, before I was talking to you today, I was just talking to my next door neighbour, and he was saying that, and he uses words like, "I'm just too depressed. I just can't bring myself to go. It's just hurting too much." I mean, it's a very, very emotional response that you're getting from people around here. It's, I know Leeds fans are feeling some of the same things as we are, but it's very personal for people.
Indeed. In terms of this decision with Russell Slade, Charlton 15th in the table. There's been a lot of draws in kind of the last 10 games. Five of them have been draws, a couple of wins in there, three defeats. Yeah. So on the face of it, the form doesn't look too bad given what happened last season and the scale of the decline and the job he came into.
No, I mean to be perfectly honest, I think club like Charlton, you'd want to be going straight back up. I mean, we went up as champions from League One under Chris Powell. We know it's possible, and we know that we can do that and bring the club, together and will us all on, in a positive way. I mean, the results on the pitch haven't been great. I mean, to be honest, I think people have been disappointed by very sort of defensive play. But having said all that, I mean, I think people are prepared to cut Russell a bit of slack. I mean, the guy was trying to contend with a situation where he'd got numerous very expensive players out on loan, where the club was having to pay their wages, which meant that actually the resources that he got to get better results were very, very thin. And I think the game against Swindon on Saturday really showed that. I mean, we had three players out on international duty, and we looked really, really thin, very, very thin on the ground. And, on when the Sky cameras were on the team, we didn't look good. I mean, Swindon ran rings around us. Having said that, there have been some performances that are have been good, and you know, some individual players have shown a great deal of kind of promise and verve. So I think overall there were some things that were very good around his management.
And then spoke about kind of on the pitch. Of course, we've all heard about the off the pitch issues at Charlton. It's fair to say your group's kind of very active in kind of voicing those concerns. Do you see a lot of the Charlton fan base engaging in that? You mentioned how fed up some fans are. A lot of them now kind of showing that and making their voices heard?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the Supporters Trust have recently run a survey asking supporters the degree to which they support what CARD are doing to remove Roland and Catriona Mayor from the club, and 88% of the supporters saying they're 100% behind what we're doing. I mean, this isn't a kind of a minority thing. This is something that all supporters want. It's a very concerted effort, and I think you know, Charlton supporters have got a track record on this. I mean, they all got together to get back to the Valley in the early 90s. So, you know, we've got a great deal of unity down here.
The protest that you did with the Coventry supporters, with the plastic pigs that were thrown on the pitch. Well, I'm not sure if I've read this or not, but where did the idea for the pigs come from?
Well, the honest truth is that that we were looking for things to be the centrepiece of a protest that we were going to do jointly with Coventry, who have had their similar issues as well. And actually, pigs came up as a possibility. And then, for a start, you know, they're appealing in their own right. They're the sort of things that people get that people notice. But also, you know, it was on the back of a lot of promises coming out of the club, which allowed us to say, well, you know, pigs might fly, then they would change their ways, because it didn't seem like they were changing their ways at all. So, you know, it was an available pig and a good story, really.
Yeah, it certainly caught the attention. Are there more protests like this plan going forward now? Do you have anything in the diary for us to watch out for?
Yes, we are. We've made an announcement that there will be protests at the Sheffield United game. We will be giving details about that closer to the time. But we are certainly not giving up. I mean, just today, a taxi load of people returned from Belgium. As you may or may not have seen in the press, we got a London taxi fully liveried with Roland out messages, and the pigs, of course, who've become a little bit of a mascot for what we're doing. And the supporters went over to Belgium to visit Roland on his birthday, and in both St Trudien, where he's owns a football club, Brussels, where he's got his political interests, and then in Ypres, where his company Melexis is based. So we're pretty active.
I was going to say, I was right in thinking that was it a Belgian newspaper that picked up on the taxi story? I've seen that you've kind of been hitting the headlines overseas as well.
Yeah, no, the Belgian press have covered it really quite widely in the last 24 hours or so. Several papers picking up on the story, lots of photographs and interviews with both the Charlton people that went out there, but also some local St Trudien fans who are having similar concerns about Roland.
Well, we wish you the best of luck, Heather, with it.
Thank you.
Charlton will get, the fans will get what they want sooner rather than later. Thanks very much for joining us on the FL72.
All right, cheers, Al.
There we go. That is Heather Alderson of CARD, a coalition that is against the owners of Charlton Athletic. Interesting stuff. We'll be back in a couple of moments on the FL72 with more of the news from the last 7 days.
The FL72 on Radio Yorkshire with Sam and Tom.
Jeff, cheers for coming in this morning. Let's keep in touch. Here's my card.
Jose Fabuloso.
What?
Learned fabulous flamenco in a simple uno,
right,
dos,
that's
tres.
Not, don't know how that got in there.
Our breakfasts are freshly prepared, even if you're not. Like our sausage and egg McMuffin. McDonald's. We make breakfast. Served before 10:30 a.m.
This November, you are invited on a tour of the world, celebrating art, culture, and...
Hammond, this is bad!
That's to release it, you muppet!
Jeremy!
What?
James has electrocuted himself!
What a f...
The Grand Tour launches 18th November with Jeremy Clarkson, Richard Hammond and James May.
Why are you talking like that?
It's a radio ad, that's how you talk.
You sound like an idiot.
Exclusive to Amazon Prime.
The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
There we go, Heather there, speaking about the fortunes at Charlton Athletic. Russell Sledd departing the club this week. We have had some appointments, though, this week. Tim Sherwood,
tactics Tim.
Football at Swindon Town. It was rumoured Red Bull were going to be taking over, but the walking can of Red Bull, Tim Sherwood, came through the door.
Walking can of Red Bull.
What kind of impact do you think he will have as a director of football?
Well, I think it's a weird one, isn't it? Where he's going to be picking the team as well. And Williams is going to be... I don't quite know the exact detail where he's going to be kind of still in the same role, but without as much power. So Sherwood's come in, picked the team. Pretty much an instant impact. That win at the weekend... you know, convincing win over, you know, spoke about it then, a Charlton side who, you know, want to be, well, the fans definitely want to be kind of championship, moving back up. It was a real surprise, especially when the rumours came, which was just bizarre, the Red Bull rumours that were flying around for hours before. And then even hats off to the PR people at Swindon who put the can of Red Bulls on the table as well. So, they did really think out, but it was a surprise appointment. But regardless, I think it's a very, very good one.
Yeah, we shall see how he gets on. Ian Holloway back as QPR manager as well after, well, he's been there before, did well. Do you think it's a good move for him to go back?
I think he's... Yeah, I think he was maybe itching to get back into management. Of course, he did the punditry work. Tim Sherwood was heavily linked with the QPR job to start with, but... Holloway, I think it's quite a solid appointment. He's experienced success at this level, especially with a Blackpool side who, you know, he got them up, and that was an absolutely fantastic job to get that side up. And I think it's difficult to say with QPR because they've got the potential. They've got kind of the squads there. They've, you know, questions about the club in some aspects, but they've had Premier League experience recently, and a lot of the players still have as well. So I think it's a good job for him to take, because even after Hasselbank, maybe the pressure's a bit off him. Maybe if he was coming into a QPR who were top six, then the pressure's there. But, you know, I don't think there's as much pressure on him now. And if he can come in and make an impact, push them up the table, then it's only going to lead to good things for him.
We shall see on Ian Holloway. Good luck to him back in football finally. And, well, an interesting one off the field for Chesterfield, who have problems of their own on it. They've not won for about eight games, so eight straight defeats for Danny Wilson's side. Dave Allen, the chairman, walking out and quitting at the AGM last night.
Yeah, that was a huge surprise. The AGM literally kicked off. He did his opening speech. I think he resigned just there, and... It's a bit of a message for kind of be careful what you wish for. I know a lot of fans complain, you know, at clubs, you know, like Charlton, I think rightly so, that they do have the complaints about the ownership. But, you know, where they kind of wish the owner, you know, Chesterfield, I have seen fans have made comments about that a change should be made at the top. And Dave Allen came out at the start of the AGM by announcing his resignation as chairman. I don't think any of the other board of directors were aware of this, because it just threw the whole evening into chaos. He resigned and left the club. It's left a lot of questions, the immediate questions of where does that leave Chesterfield? Where do they go now? But I don't think anyone really knows at the moment, because I think it needs a couple of days to settle down and for everyone to look at the facts. But it was a huge surprise announcement. And even, you know, when the board of directors don't expect it, you know, it kind of shows the scale of what's happened.
Yeah, certainly things up in the air at Chesterfield. The team news is in for the international friendly tonight, England against Spain. What is the team, Tom?
Joe Hart in goal, of course, my friend Joe Hart. Klein, Rose, Dyer, Cahill and Stones. Of course, Cahill, Stones will be your centre-backs there. Sterling, Henderson, Vardy, Lindgaard. Don't know why Lindgaard and Lallana are the squad for tonight. So bit of a change, a bit of a mixed England side, but then I suppose reports are suggesting Southgate's already got the job, so it's only a friendly, you may as well use your squad that you've got.
Jesse Lingard, he just doesn't do it for me at international level. You a fan of that team tonight?
Yeah, I've just noticed Pepe Reina's in goal for Spain. It's a blast from the past, I'd
go
say.
On, give us a Spain team.
Reina, Carvajal, Martinez, Nacho, Azpilicueta, Busquets, Thiago, Mata, Silva, Vitolo and Ade Ruiz.
Perfect.
There you go.
Yeah, Pepe Reina in goal. And Joe Hart in again. I mean, he is England's number one. But you've got the likes of Tom Heaton playing out of his skin. He's had, I think, 30 seconds as an England player. And for me, form, I don't know if he's going to get on later in the game, but yeah, deserving of an opportunity, at least in a friendly, to show what he can do.
Oh yeah, I think on form, definitely, if you know, you're looking at especially the team we went to the Euros with, that was a lot of in-form players. I think he definitely deserves a shout. He's proved that he is, you know, can be a top goalkeeper at this level. You know, he should really be rewarded by representing your country. But Hart, I think he's a solid goalkeeper. I think he came under a lot of unfair criticism. And the fact is, he's only out on loan because I don't think he suits Pep Guardiola's style of play, where he wants the goalkeeper to kind of almost be a sweeper keeper. So, you know, I think he is a top keeper, but I would say Heaton, you know, if given 45 minutes, I think he'd definitely do a job.
Yeah, we'll see if he gets on later on. Of course, don't listen to Tom on Joe Hart. They are close personal friends. Gareth Southgate looks set to be appointed the gaffer after this game. A good appointment, do you think? Is he warm into him?
No.
I did that fist pump against Scotland.
So? Hey, wouldn't you? If you were England manager, yeah, come on. You're going to do it.
No, but England's playing better.
Let's pretend Roy Hodgson. Roy Hodgson didn't happen. That never happened. We didn't play football for the years he was there. Just that's that. But
no matter how many pints of wine we all drink, we'll never be able to forget Roy Hodgson.
Oh, well, wish could. I don't know. It's just that we've gone from... He just seems a bit of the kind of cop-out option where, well, he's there, he's not really going to cause us much problems, you know, like Allardyce with the Telegraph sting. He's not going to get involved in that type of thing. We'll be all right. And I think it's just going from a Sam Allardyce who was so passionate, who loved it, he wanted the job, and he really, really wanted to be England manager, to Southgate, who's kind of... It's kind of like he's got the job by accident. I don't think even, you know... It's kind of just like it's happened and you're not quite sure how it's happened, but it's just happened and he's there, and now somehow he's going to be leading the country. But I say this, it's guaranteed that if he gets the job, he'll win the World Cup in 2018 and this will all come back to haunt me, which, to be honest, I wouldn't really complain about. Really wouldn't.
No. excellent stuff. There you go. Gareth Southgate yet to grow on that. Tom, we're running out of time, but I always promise I'll fit this in, so let's do it. Yes, we give Tom Carnduff just one job on the show. In fact, we give him a lot of jobs, but this is his main.
This is the job.
And he even forgot to put it in the system, the music.
Well, it's playing. It's worked out in the end.
It's playing, yeah.
That's all it's
worked
out.
I
should not go into details.
Sweeping up your
enjoy it. It's here.
Right, so we've got good days, bad days. You give us who's done well, who's done bad. We've got League One, League Two, and
International.
This week. Off you go, Tom Carnduff.
Like the FA Cup, it kind of threw League One and League Two, so I've added in international. We'll start off with League One, though. Good. Talked about them already. Swindon Town, Tactics Tim helped them get a 3-0 win over Charlton. I've seen some fans describe it as their best performance in years as they climb out of the relegation zone. Sherwood, instant impact. What a guy. Bad day for Bristol Rovers, who are down to sixth following a 4-0 loss to Millwall. They also had a man sent off. A team in the playoff places really going to be disappointed with that. We drop into League Two. Good for Portsmouth, who sailed to a 4-0 win over Mansfield, and they move up to fourth in the League Two table. Bad day for Carlisle United. A 2-0 loss to bottom club Newport. It's the first loss of the season. Newport really struggled as well, not got many points behind them. Going into the internationals, we made it out to be such an international flavour that we're going to go to all distances and all corners of the world. Good day for Northern Ireland. A 4-0 win over Azerbaijan moves them into a second in a group containing Germany, Czech Republic, San Marino and Norway. So a pretty difficult group, bar maybe San Marino. Bad for Wales. The Euro 2016 semi-finalists conceded late on to draw 1-1 with Serbia at home. Puts them in third in the group, just 6 points in four games. It's not going well for them at all. That's good days, bad days for the week. Next week, the Football League, full card of Football League, so it'll be back to strict Championship League 1, League 2 routine.
Tom, thank you very much for that. I always enjoy good days, bad days. You just get so passionate.
I do.
His little face.
I do. It's like the mobility scooter. It just gets me going.
Yeah, next week, that is your job for next week. We skipped over the scooter story. Obviously, if Steve Evans goes in, I want someone from Mansfield Town on the phone next week. Commercial director, anything like that. Get him on the phone. Steve Evans. Whoever. I want to talk about the mobility scooter.
All right. Done.
Excellent. That is all for us tonight. Next on Radio Yorkshire, you better hear the Yorkshire Football Show from TV Yorkshire this week. I'm on there as well. And then after 8 o'clock, it's the debut on the evening show. He's hanging around. It's new haircut himself, Tom Carndoff. Top 10. David Bolton is back with Yorkshire Knights from 10. The news with Derek is next.
The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.